right, our children can be dismissed to Kingdom Kids. Someone will probably come and get you at the end of the service, all right? You'll know that there's an Easter egg hunt. If you'd like to follow along in our scriptures this morning, we're going to be in Acts chapter 4. I am so glad this morning that even Twang cannot close the tomb. A teacher gave her assignment to her students. They were to write an essay about the greatest living man. One student wrote an essay on Jesus Christ, and the teacher said, "This is a really good essay, but I think you misunderstood. I said the greatest living man," and that student rightly answered, "Jesus is alive." Others die and stay dead, but Jesus died and he rose again. I was reading this last week about Harry Houdini. Harry Houdini was an escape artist. He died in 1936, November 29th to be exact. I've read about it. This man was a genius. He could get out of anything. They said he had the flexibility of an eel. He had the lives of a cat. They tried all kinds of ways to keep Harry Houdini locked up. They one time put him in a coffin and buried the coffin, and he got out. Sometimes they tried tying him up in canvas bags and throwing him into water, into a river, and he'd get out. They put him in a milk can, a metal milk can, welded the lid on top shut, and somehow he escaped. One time, they took him to a federal prison in Washington, D.C. Maximum security. He was there for less than a half an hour, and he walked out. And in the meanwhile, he moved a whole bunch of the prisoners from one cell to another. He was an incredible individual. One biographer said, "He could escape from anything except your memory." And yet there came a day when Harry Houdini died. And friend, he did not escape death. No trickery there, no skill there, no flexibility there. Houdini died. There was another very impressive individual who died. His name was Jesus, and he escaped. He came out of that grave, and he arose. Now, I want us to think about some things that are true because he arose. I want to give you five resurrection facts this morning that you're going to find all in Acts chapter 4. And if you look them up, we'll find five of them. We'll start in verse 1. The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Well, the first thing I want to tell you about what happened because Jesus Christ lived is that his persecution continued. His persecution continued. Did you know that because Jesus Christ is alive, he's still being persecuted? Proves he's alive. How here in Acts chapter 4, you're going to find out that it was the apostles who were persecuted, but it was really as they were being persecuted that Jesus was being persecuted. Because in the truest sense, when folks attack Christians, they're attacking their leader. Now, the reason the apostles were being persecuted is because they'd just done a miracle. I want you to look at this carefully. Acts chapter 3, verse 12. Peter refused to take credit. They had just healed a man, caused him to walk. And here's what Peter said. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?" And then in the next chapter, chapter 4, verse 10, he says, "Know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." Do you get it? A miracle had been done. The persons in authority didn't like it. They were seeing that people, even though they crucified Jesus, people in even greater numbers were beginning to follow him. They thought they had done away with this whole thing, but now here's a man who was healed. And Peter says, "Hey, we didn't do it. Jesus did." And when they were persecuting these apostles, they were truly, in the most clearest sense, persecuting Jesus Christ. It's because the apostles were the hands and the feet of the Lord Jesus. Jesus has a new body now. Yes, indeed, he has his glorified body in heaven, but he has another body here on earth. It's called the church. He is still alive, and he is active. When you persecute the church, you're persecuting Jesus. He is not dead. He is alive. You can't persecute a dead man. And because he lives, his persecution continues. Let me make this as simple as I can. When you love this Jesus, when you stand up for this Jesus, as these apostles did in Acts chapter 4, this world is going to come down on you like a hammer. And all of the artillery in hell is going to be aimed at you just like it was aimed at the Lord Jesus Christ. If you aren't being persecuted right now, don't boast about it. Don't brag about it, because the Bible says all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So don't get the idea that the world has gotten more churchy if there's no persecution. If there's no persecution, it's only because the church has gotten more worldly. When we begin to let the living Christ live in us, you're going to find out that the first number one of these resurrection facts is that his persecution continues. Now, I'm guessing you didn't come here for bad news this morning, so I want to teach you something else. His preaching convinces. Look at verse 4. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. Oh, one of these days I'd like to preach when 5,000 people get saved. You know, I am thankful that it's not because of the preacher, because of what is being preached, that people are saved. When I was in high school, I had plans, and they did not include preaching. And someone got a hold of me and said, you ought to preach. Someone else got a hold of me. His name was Mr. Smith. He was my public speaking teacher. He said, I will pass you in public speaking if you promise never to take a job that requires it. So I'm thankful that it is the Word of God, that is Jesus himself, that causes people to be saved. You know, how did these men, fishermen, uneducated, how was it that they were able to get up and say the things that they were saying and preach about Jesus, who had just been crucified but rose from the dead? How is it that they were able to get up and preach and 5,000 people come to Jesus Christ? I'll tell you why. Because their skills were not relied upon the power of oratory, power of logic, their speaking skills to bring people to Christ. There was Christ living in them. And I've told you before and again, anything I can talk you into, someone else can talk you out of. But when Jesus Christ is preached, he makes a difference. I'm not preaching today facts about a dead man, only known to us through history. I am presenting before you this morning a living Jesus Christ. If 11 apostles who had seen him with their own eyes could not convince Thomas, I'll not be able to convince you. Do you know what convinced Thomas? He had an encounter with the living Lord. And when he had an encounter with Jesus Christ, he was convinced. And do you know what you need today? And do you know what the folks around us need today? They need an encounter with Jesus Christ. Not the church. We're his body. We do some good things. But they don't need an encounter with us. You need to meet the living Christ because he is awesome. These people were brought in contact by the Holy Spirit with the living Christ, and they were totally and absolutely and thoroughly convinced. You see, other leaders, they come and go. They die. I've been to the gravesite of some famous people. Becky and I had the privilege of getting out to California a few years ago, and we went to the Ronald Reagan Library. We stood at the burial spot of President Ronald Reagan. A couple years later, we took Sammy and Josiah to Arlington Cemetery in Virginia, and we stood at that eternal flame that marks the spot where John F. Kennedy's body is interred. Both of them, by all accounts, considered to be great presidents in the history of our country, but they both died. Neither came back from the dead. Did you know you can go to Red Square today and visit the tomb of Lenin? He's got this huge shrine devoted just to him. Lenin's body remains there today in a crystal case. He's there. He's beautifully embalmed. You can still see his waxen face. It's not like going to a grave in America. You can go and you can see him. There's a soldier there, and a soldier there, and a soldier there, and a soldier there, and those soldiers are still guarding Lenin. And on his tombs are these words, and I want you to listen carefully to them. He was the greatest leader of all peoples, of all countries, of all times. He was the Lord of the new humanity. He was the Savior of the world. And there lies that dead communist leader who was, in their opinion, the Savior of the world. You notice the past tense all the way through that description? He was, but Jesus said, I am he that liveth evermore. Friend, I want to tell you, it makes a difference. It is the living Christ. It is an encounter with Jesus that convinces people. And that's the reason, thank God, I don't have to rely on my ability as a preacher to cause you to believe. My ability, my job, my joy, my responsibility is just to try and help you have an encounter with him, to try and introduce you to him, to help you want to know him as your Lord and Savior. And the difference is I am preaching a living Christ. I pray before I preach that Christ takes his spirit and fills the room and fills your heart, because he can do infinitely more than I can do. Here's a third thing I want you to see. Not only does his persecution continue, not only does his preaching convince, but his power confronts. They thought they were done with him. They put him in a grave. They put a seal on that grave. He is finished. But he wasn't finished. It was finished. The plan of salvation was finished, but Jesus was very much alive and had a whole lot more to do. When they put him on the cross, they mocked him. They said, if you're the Son of God, come down from that cross. Oh, they used the wrong words. They should have gone to the tomb and said, if you're the Son of God, come out. He is shown to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. And he is alive today. He's on the loose. They thought they were finished with him. Peter said, you crucified him. You put him in the grave. You put him on the cross. But it is the same one that you have crucified who just healed this guy. And now they're being confronted with the power of God's Son alive in the world. And we are still confronted with it today. His power continues to confront us. Here's the fourth of these resurrection facts I want you to notice. Not only does his persecution continue, not only does his preaching convince, not only does his power confront, all of these things, because he lives, and fourth, his presence compels. His presence compels. Look at verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that these guys were unschooled and ordinary men, they were astonished, and they take note that these men had been with Jesus. They had been in these presence. Think about who these guys were that we're talking about. Their names are Peter and John. It wasn't long after this that Peter would become known for his boldness and courage. But it wasn't long before this that this guy actually cringed before an average maid. This lady came up and said, he was with Jesus. He said, I don't know Jesus. And he was afraid. He wouldn't tell the truth. He cursed, he swore, he denied he knew the Lord. But after he had seen him risen, he was compelled. You couldn't shut him up. You see, when you're in the presence of Jesus Christ, something happens to you. When you're in the presence of the risen Lord, just like when you put an iron into a hot fire and leave it in that fire, it's not long before that iron gets red hot. And not only is the iron in the fire, but pretty soon the fire is literally in the iron. And you spend some time with the Lord Jesus, you'll be as bold as these guys, and his presence will compel you. Oh, I think back to when I became a Christian, and I was excited about becoming a Christian. I was thankful for the forgiveness, and things seemed pretty cool. But I was just an average guy, you know. And pretty soon I got back involved with the world a little bit more than I should have. And I finally realized one day that I had had a pretty good encounter with the church. And I had a pretty good time with some good folks in the church. And I had done some cool youth group outings. But one day I heard the message preached like I'd not heard it preached before. And it melted my soul. And I had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And now all I want to do is tell other people about Jesus Christ. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, what was it that set them on their ear? What was it that caused the crowds to marvel? It was the boldness that these guys had for Jesus. What's boldness? What is holy boldness? Friend, it is knowing that Jesus Christ is alive. I mean, listen, if you are truly convinced that Jesus Christ walked out of that grave, could you ever be intimidated? Think about it. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, they marveled. They took note of them. They said, well, these guys aren't very smart. They're unschooled, ordinary men. But they said, hey, they've been with Jesus. That's what made them different. We need an epidemic of holy boldness, that we'd go out and not ever be ashamed again of Jesus Christ. You know, these men, if you think about it, they're facing the equivalency of our Supreme Court. They're a couple of country bumpkins. They're from Galilee. They're from the hill country. They're from where they have twang. They're fishermen. They should have been standing there kind of shuffling their feet with their heads down, afraid, timid, worried. But there they are. They're in front of the most powerful rulers of their day. They're in the magnificent surrounding of the temple. They're absolutely uninhibited with a face like the noonday sun. And there they took a stand for our Lord Jesus Christ. They wouldn't shut up. They wouldn't back up. They just go in there and they do what they literally told them not to do, and they started preaching Jesus. I love preaching, but I could use some more of that boldness in my life, because it's easy to preach in front of you. It's harder out in the world sometimes. I need more of that holy boldness in my life. You need it. I'll tell you the way you get it is to spend some time with the living Lord. Because, friend, His presence compels us. We cannot be ashamed. We cannot back off. What happens when we know He's alive? Well, His persecution continues. His preaching convinces. His power confronts. His presence compels. And here's the fifth thing. His people confess. His people confess. Look, if you would, in verse 14. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, so this was an obvious miracle, they couldn't deny it. There was nothing they could say, so they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin, and they conferred together. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we can't deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But watch this. Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to Him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Peter and John are ordered by the Supreme Court, who have the power of execution. You cannot preach about Jesus. We don't want you to tell this message to anyone else. We don't want this word out. Why didn't they want that message out? Because they understood the power of it. Even those opposed to Jesus understood the power of it. I'm told that one demon said to the other, if those false theologians ever really let Jesus out of the grave, hell help us. All heaven will break loose. And there's truth to that. They knew that all heaven was about to break loose if they kept preaching about this man. They said, you can't preach this message anymore. You might as well have told the sun not to shine as to have told Peter and John to stop preaching about Jesus Christ. They couldn't stop. Why? Because they had seen him. You couldn't get them to shut up. Because he lives, his people confess. Anybody who has known that Jesus Christ is alive, oh, they get excited about telling others. Do you know what a witness is? A witness is someone who tells about what he's seen or heard. They haven't seen or heard anything if they don't tell, right? A person who has seen and heard that Jesus Christ is alive cannot be made to shut up. His people confess. Have you seen anything? Have you heard anything? I'm telling you that God works in some really strange and cool ways. He really does. 2 months ago, we had people visit our church for the first time in church in a while. We invited others to visit church that you had never thought would visit a church. And we're seeing God work in ways that we never would have imagined. I told my parents yesterday, I said, Easter's a hard day because the whole world gets excited about Easter. And in our church, usually attendance drops a little bit. And I, you know, I shouldn't be wound up in numbers, and I'm not saying numbers say a lot. But I said, it's kind of disappointing on Easter to preach to an empty church. We set a record attendance in this church today with 106 people. And I'm telling you, it's not that we ought to be bragging or boasting about numbers. It is not. But those numbers represent opportunities to share Jesus Christ with people, and that ought to get us excited. For the first time in a long time, for 2 or 3 weeks in a row, I've been able to sit across the table from people who don't yet know Jesus Christ as their Savior and draw out scripture verses for them and draw out pictures of what Christianity is all about and share the gospel with people. And I have been re-energized because I love sharing this news. God is doing something through his people. Evangelism in the New Testament was not a couple of day meeting where there was a special revival or a guest speaker or a push for a big attendance day. I'm not opposed to those things. We've had them. We've done them successfully. But in the New Testament, these Christians were all about it all the time. They just wanted people to know through the way they lived their lives that Jesus Christ was Lord. You know why? Because they had seen him. They knew he was alive. You could not shut him up. His people confessed. His people confessed. Think about what the early church did. They didn't have any printing presses. They didn't have any buses. They didn't have radio or television or sound systems or live streams or even church buildings. But they turned the world upside down and inside out for Jesus. They did so much with so little. How much more can we do with so much? Oh, he's alive. Get that in your heart. He's alive. Let's get that in our minds. He's alive. And because he's alive, I warn you, his persecution will continue. People will continue to persecute him. And they're going to persecute him by persecuting you. Wear that persecution like a badge of honor because he's alive. His preaching convinces. Don't feel like when you preach or teach or witness, it's up to you. It's all up to us just to bring people into an encounter with the living Christ. I don't convince, you don't convince, Jesus convinces. And his power confronts. His power is real in the church and in the world today. Jesus Christ, I will assure you, no matter all of the things that are going on around us that are bad, Jesus Christ is alive and well. And the same Jesus that walked the shores of Galilee is alive in his body, the church today. His power confronts, and his presence compels. Oh, stay in the presence of Jesus. Like you put iron in the fire, and that fire gets into the iron, the Spirit will come into you and give you a holy boldness and courage. You'll not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then his people will confess. They'll say, we must speak and we must tell and we must say the things that we've seen and heard. Let me tell you what New Testament Christianity is. It is supernatural. It cannot be explained. It cannot be denied, and it will not be intimidated. And it must not be ignored. Christ lives. Jesus Christ lives. Now here's the question. Christ lives. Do you? You say, well, okay, Pastor, yeah, I'm alive. I'm hearing you. I'm sitting here listening. I'm breathing. My heart's beating. No. I didn't say, do you exist? I said, do you live? Jesus said to people whose hearts were already pumping, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full, or have it more abundantly. How do you get that life? Well, the risen Lord imparts it when you trust him. Remember that verse. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And today, if you've not made that wonderful discovery of Jesus Christ in your heart, I want to invite you to do so. Think about it just for a moment.